gag actors advertising.
Do you have anything to announce?
No, I don't. Thank you.
Okay. Anybody else? I would like to announce the Morro Bay Music Festival is going to be going on June 4th, and it's free to the public. It's down in Barcadero. It's our annual event. And if you'd like to find out more information, it's mbfest.org, or I think it's .org, hopefully.
Phone number?
And I don't have a phone number.
I can help you with the phone number. 772-1155.
Okay. All right. Anybody have anything else? Okay, we have a public comment period next. Welcome.
Hi, it's me, Gary Hickson. I just want to say that Recreation and Parks is for the kids and anybody who wants to get involved. And the Senior Center, there's a lot of activity guides, even for San Luis. I'm doing my TV show. We're going to be shooting a lot of skateboard and surf scenes. They're going to get me on the water, maybe do a show called Morro Bay Watch, which is kind of interesting. You guys are doing a good job, and I'm obviously an actor, and it's a dream for an actor to be involved in government. I think it's, I love government. I love being on TV. I know all the guys at HEP Video, and try to stay with this meeting as long as I can. Sometimes I have problems lasting the whole 3 minutes, but I've been sick for a while. And Recreation and Parks, yeah, I think, you know, if we can ever get the Rock paved, you know, get that, some of those holes, and George Liga was talking about that, that it would be good for a lot of tourism and surfing. And I don't know what happened with the skate park. It's kind of coming and go. I think they turned it into a basketball thing, but there's some basketball nets you can go shoot hoop down at the Morro Bay Park. There's a lot of people shooting hoop and having picnics and the car show and Recreation and Parks. Yeah, I remember that when I used to live in Ventura, I used to attend a lot of the meetings when I was a kid. We had the Little League, and you guys are going in front of about 25,000 people right now because all of Los Osos is watching you. And I'll maybe wait for this thing to beep. Recreation and Parks, yeah, I know a little bit about it. And I've got kids of my own. And I think Oprah just said that San Luis Obispo was the happiest town in America. So she's got her own network. We've yet to get her here at the city council, but I'm trying to get people like that at our meetings. I do a lot of outdoor shots with skateboarders and surfers and sailboarders and stuff like that, and I'm always in a different outfit. I just got my show back on the air. It's the Gary Hickson Show. We're having some problems at the station that's breaking up, but yeah, we want to try to, you know, televise as much as we can to for Recreation and Parks and Planning Commission and City Council, and basically that. I went to the last meeting of the sewage treatment plant. There was a lot of people in there, and I gave my 2 cents and said, you know, I think that's a good idea. I don't know what they're eventually going to do with that, but Recreation and Parks, yeah, baseball, and we got a lot of things for kids to do, and I guess that's basically all I had to say. I'd last as long as I can at this public comment. All my friends are watching me. So you guys, by the way, are doing a really good job. I think this is a better year for us, and that's basically all I had to say, I guess, on with the meeting. Thank you.
All right. Okay, thank you, Gary. Thank you for the compliments. All right, moving on to the consent calendar. Unless an item is pulled for separate action by the Parks and Rec Commission, the following actions are approved without discussion. Does anybody have anything they'd like to pull? Okay.
If no one has anything to pull, I'll move that we accept the consent calendar A1 through 4 for file.
I'll second that.
Okay, motion's passed.
Aye.
Any discussion? Okay, moving on. Oh, all in favor? Sorry.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Aye. Okay. Okay, now moving on to, let's see, unfinished business. We have continued discussion on components of the Teen Center master plan. And that would be specifically options 5 and 6. And Mr. Woods, would you like to take it from here?
Certainly. Thank you, Chair Crowley and Commission. Good evening, everyone. C1 is brought to you from staff. We thought maybe since the last workshop that we did with the Teen Center master plan here on April the 28th was a very dynamic workshop. We felt that the participants at the workshop and as well as the commissioners were very engaged in the topic. I thought it was very fruitful. And at that particular workshop, we discussed four different options for the Teen Center Master Plan. The first option was an option that was brought to City Council and approved through a series of workshops in 2004, 2005, 2006. And the final product was adopted by City Council and was on the books to be funded somehow. And we come up with an option five. There was some little nuances there, so actually we developed five and six through the help of RRM Design and also our consultant, Jan DeLeo. I'd like to put up, if you just give me one moment, I'd go to the overhead and give you a look at what five is for those at home as well. Six is on the other side. Thank you, and pardon me for the delay. I wanted to get option five up on the board. Both options five and six for the Teen Center Master Plan have some similarities, and I'll point those out, and then I'll point out some of the differences. Both concepts retain the existing teen center in its entirety. No modifications are planned. This parking lot in front, right now we don't plan on amending anything other than taking out the temporary skate park that's there now and moving it to the rear of the site, and it's the modular skate park. So the parking lot itself remains intact. There may be some modifications to the middle island, depending on our parking requirements through planning, but it's something that we feel that would be minor and would be something that we'd be able to handle. Both options include a classroom. And you notice the classroom is located on the west side of the property, adjacent to the closest property owner. And through our workshops, we talk about sound, we talked about a few things. Okay. That's hard to see it there. So the classroom itself stays on the western border. It is downsized through our workshops. It's closer to 2,000 square foot as opposed to I think 3 and 4 were up to like 3,000 square foot. And that size classroom really isn't going to fit on this site with all the other amenities that we're proposing. So the classroom is about 1,950 square feet. It has external restrooms, so they can be accessed when the classroom is closed or if the teen center is closed and other amenities on the site are open and you have participants in the rear of the facility or site, they'll be able to access those restrooms on a standalone basis. And those are just right there adjacent to and attached to. And you look at, there's a small dotted line that goes just around the perimeter and out from the classroom. And that's an overhang. It's covered work area. And there was some, and this is similar in both options. And the thought was that if there was a workshop or there was a skateboard repair or a bike repair workshop, they could do it in a covered area with some adjacent tables that may help facilitate that activity. And it's close to the classroom in case the weather was inclement and so forth. So we had a little area out there, a workshop area. It's really undefined. It's going to be a versatile area that we can bring in various activities. The other element that's similar in both is the modular skate park in the rear of the site, as well as the in-ground skate park that is on the west or the east side of the property. Through our workshops, we talked about moving all the skating activities to the east side for various reasons. One would be access by our local law enforcement that could access this driveway at the high school and have visuals into all the skating amenities here. And just to keep an eye on and make sure that they're being properly used at the proper time. It also brings a lot of this sound that's associated with the skate park away from our adjacent property owner, who does have, there's a residence on that site, as well as some plans to do some other activities that would be visitor serving. And I haven't seen any concrete plans, but the bottom line is we were trying to avoid loud activities or loud noises just, you know, right next to his property. So the skating is on the east side. And those are really the basic similarities of both options 5 and 6. So you'll see those throughout. And we feel that we really have fleshed out those components, burden that we are not financially ready to take on. An outside multi-use court is much more practical, we felt, as far as financial responsibilities and usage. I would be remiss to saying that, yes, we do need, if I didn't say this, yes, we would love to have a gymnasium. To me and our staff, we felt like a gymnasium would be ideal. So it is an aquatic center. But these particular items, though, we feel that, and we know that we need them in our community because we're lacking these type of resources. The cost to sustain, the operating and maintenance cost of these particular amenities is a challenge. And right now we are challenged with the resources that we have allocated to the type of service that we're trying to provide in this year's budget and the upcoming. And to look for an additional burden on those that probably would not be 100% sustainable. The cost recovery, we get in the cost recovery when we do the program evaluations. The cost recovery on the gym, we're probably going to be subsidizing it to some percentage. I haven't cranked out the numbers on it because of the size and so forth. But the cost is why you don't see it here. So you see a multi-use court here in the corner. In the center, again, that's an amphitheater, and that was something that was discussed and desired, and the opportunities to bring in local groups to the venue and having age-appropriate concerts, family concerts. I mean, really, we ran the gamut. We felt that this was important. So in option 5, you have this center. These are plants. These big, this up in the corner is a planter or plant well, tree well. There's some seating here right above the amphitheater next to the skate park. And that is for viewing of both. Maybe someone wants to sit here and have something to eat or have a family gathering or friends could be here and still watch the skating or be part of an amphitheater activity as well. There was an idea having these things, having the tables not here, and you'd have some kind of a stage, if you will, for any kind of awards banquets or any kind of recognition if we were going to have a skate contest or something of the similar to that. So that was the original intent to having that bulb out. Amphitheater, obviously, it could change its shape a bit, but this is this basically is a duck shape of the bill up here in the body. Sorry, I didn't mean to digress, but that shape could change a little bit, but basically that's what we're looking at as far as the stage down in this corner. So it's a passive area. It's in the center of the site. It allows folks to access it from either side of the teen center or when it's open coming through. And then we could have various temporary lighting structures if we needed to have and sound equipment and so forth that wouldn't be permanently mounted there. So there's a lot of different options for an amphitheater, and it could be just an area that the teens could gather and sit and talk and socialize and so forth. The multi-use court, which is down here in the corner, allows you to do a couple things. One is basketball, and that was a real strong desire of our teens to come in and say, hey, we really want to have basketball. And then a lot of other ones are saying, hey, Foursquare is really the hip thing to do right now. Or volleyball. or, you know, badminton and various court games. There's just a whole list of different court games that could be played on this multi-use court. And again, it's not an inside gym, so we don't have air handling or mechanical space in order to bring a skilled maintenance guy in to work and have other kind of various maintenance issues. We'll have some with the outside court, but not nearly as much as the inside court. So that's some of the, I'm going to move on to six. And option six is something that, again, let me get up and turn this page here so we can see it. And I do dishes and windows. Option six is, thank you. Option six is again a consensus of all of our four workshops. Our fifth workshop, which will be a public workshop, a public hearing at City Council. And I'll get to the final date on that in a moment. Option six, modular skate park again, skate bowls and skate park here on the west end. Notice that in both, and it's intriguing and it's getting people to say, hey, what's going on? Let's go check it out. Not to mention we need the space. So those are, again, are same elements in five. You have the same alignment for the classroom, which is accessed here in the front of the site. So if the teen center is closed, and the skate park's closed, and it's an evening or something, we could still have an activity in the classroom that isn't necessarily a teen activity. It could be a social group within the community, a nonprofit organization, and maybe even a public workshop. A lot of things can happen. I need to let you know that the classroom has the ability, and if you look on your drawings, it has a little stacked wall on the very bottom edge. And that is a partition that can divide this room in two. Actually, it divides it in one-third to two-thirds. So you've got a breakout room. And a lot of times groups need a breakout room, or groups not as large as they thought, and they don't want to lose them in a larger room. So having the ability to break it down into two different rooms really makes it more versatile for use. So I wanted to point that out to you. Now, what's different in six than in five is now in the center of your site is what I like to call, hang on to your hats here, it's called the AMPA court. Wow. It's probably been used before, but I thought it was kind of a cool name. So instead of trying to do a multi-court and an AMPA court, amphitheater, the design has combined them both. And we feel that this particular design, having the walls here around the perimeter, and the walls are basically steps, concrete steps that have tiers. There'll be some type of, I don't want to say artificial grass, but there'll be some kind of a natural element, hopefully, in between the stairs to break it up and to give it more of a green and a more of a natural feel, amphitheater feel. But the seating is kind of stacked up on one end. It plateaus and then stacks on the other end. So a person could be along this wall, you could be two seats away from observing all the skating, or you flip around and you can be right in here watching a basketball game or a concert. So we felt like, seating wall, and it is along both perimeters of the AMPA court. Notice how it breaks here and breaks here. This is for a couple of reasons. One, line of sight for control. Staff can see through here and watch activities, make sure everyone's going to be playing safe, having a good time. This also gives you line of sight from the teen center all the way through to this passive area. I'm going to get to this in a second. So you have this AMPA court, if you will. Staff feels that there's going to be a percentage of time where basketball is going to be played or a court game of some type, but not 100% of the time. And an amphitheater is probably going to be used less than 100% of the time. So if you combine the two, you're really giving yourself some a versatile use of the space. It is a really a, more of an active element in the center of the site as opposed to just the amphitheater, which was a passive. So either one, they both have benefits and pros and cons. So there's the ability to have concerts here, not as intimate and, you know, of a venue as an amphitheater, but very versatile as far as the space to accommodate a portable stage, additional seating maybe here, areas for dancing, and still having the area around the perimeter for spectators and fans. So that's what's happening in the center. On this area, which on option five was the multi-use court, is now more of a active play area, if you will, with a climbing structure, climbing rocks, as well as an interactive type of a structure. And we've got some various components that I don't have in detail for you tonight, but I have just received them as I was leaving the office, and I'll be presenting those detailed examples of the detail that we were going to be looking to put in this area. And it isn't just, look at this little play structure for tots. Now, these are play structures for teens, so they're much more imaginative, much more intriguing, and they're really very modern play structures, and there's also rocks. So that's what you see in this area. There are tree wells here. There is, again, here's a wall that comes around, and this wall is more as a seating wall, again, for folks that are visiting the site or participating in the site can come here, socialize, gather of use there. Both options show a gate in the rear of the facility, and staff will be working with the school district to include some kind of verbiage in our facility use agreement that when school is not in session and we were having, example, monster skate competition, well, we would maybe fill up our parking lot. We would have access to, say, auxiliary parking would be in the rear of the facility, the school grounds, then they could access this gate and come right into our site, as opposed to walking the perimeter back around in the front. So we felt that was pretty logical, and we feel pretty confident that the school district will agree with the direction that we're going. We're not looking to go on, obviously, during school hours. It would be a weekend, a non-school activity would be going on, and then we would coordinate with them the dates and times. So that outlines options five and option six. I won't go back into all the 1, 2, 3, and 4. I think we've discussed those to the end, and we're ready to move on to 5 and 6. So since you guys have directed me to 5 and 6, I thought I would bring 5 and 6 back to you prior to going to City Council. We are going to City Council on Tuesday, May the 24th. At 6 o'clock, we'll be discussing 5 and 6. We'll be looking for public input. So if you're a teen or a family or a skater or someone who's interested in the community and wants to be part of this development and put in some things of interest, that's a meeting you want to go to. It's our fifth meeting. It's our fifth workshop. It'll be our final workshop, hopefully. And then we'll be preparing our application for the Prop 84 grant monies. We are targeting somewhere between, I want to say, $1 million and $2 million. We're trying to keep this closer to one. We feel that through our research of the first phase of the funding, that who was getting funded and how much they were getting funded was appropriate. So we're trying to target some things and try to get it in the cycle. Either you go to the max, which is $5 million, or to keep it down closer to 1 and 2, is what our goal is. At the conclusion of this item, I'm looking for a possible commissioner to follow this item to City Council. We had discussed this in previous meetings that if there's a recommendation from the Recreation Parks Commission to the City Council, that one of our members follow that item to City Council, and make a presentation. Doesn't have to be super long. It's just the fact that representing the commission and we are supporting this option and we're hoping for your support, something along those lines. So this concludes my report. I'd be happy to answer any questions at this time.
Hey, thank you, Mr. Woods. This is very, very exciting. Really, really cool. Should we open it up for discussion and questions? Maybe start with option five first, or is there any particular interest right off the bat?
I have a question. Well, first of all, I think the kids wanted... I think they were talking about option six mostly with the court right there in the center. And the court being multi-use court, that was going to be striped. I think they had a request that it could be striped like for four square. And like what you mentioned, I know you didn't mention it in your report, but it will be striped for other stuff and all that.
Oh, most definitely. We're trying to get as many different courts on this multi-use court as we can that's feasible. So there'll be a lot of different color lines and a lot of different areas that people can go and play and interact.
Okay, and then the other question I had was over in the active play area, I believe there was discussion about maybe putting a wall up where it could be like an art wall, and is that also going to be added there somewhere in that area?
Yes, that's that. The wall that you see now is a kind of a sitting wall, and the idea was to have sections of that raised up so we could have art on it.
Okay.
So that's something that we want to talk with our designer to make sure that this wall is sufficient enough for that.
Okay, so the recommendation might include to also look at the striping or the art wall, or is that kind of just part of it?
The striping for the multi-court is a given.
Okay.
That
good.
Is we have something that is basically consistent with a multi-use court.
Okay.
The interactive area with the climbing rocks and so forth, we don't have an outline for an art wall. I know that was something that we talked about and wanted to have. So as we fine-tune this, it's very easy to put in.
Okay.
Not a requirement, but you would certainly get points for having the option of having some public art. That was important. We thought we needed a public art element, as well as sustainability. And we're looking at some other rainwater harvesting, which will be part of our final. I just got those when I was leaving the office, and I'm sure that they'll show those. And I have to mention that does bring the cost up. When we want to put in rainwater harvesting wells, I think they're called wells, or
cisterns.
If we build those, they're subterranean, and we can have this entire site drain all the waters. When it rains or there's a heavy dew or mist and we collect waters, they'll go in and we can collect them in these reservoirs, and then we'll have a small pump which will pump it out and feed our irrigation. And a lot of new developments doing this throughout the state, taking as much water as you can get, though in some of the interior areas it's only going to last maybe through June, maybe half of July, but it's still... It's rainwater that you've collected and harvested. The cost of running the energy of the pump is pretty minor, particularly if it's solar-driven. And we can feed our landscaping and save some water. And water is an expensive commodity for us in the parks. So we will be looking to do that. We will be looking at some gray water reclamation to use from the new restroom, maybe those sinks. From the kitchen and the classroom and also the restroom would be re-diverted to our harvest area, and we could pump that water out as well. So there's rules to both, and I'm not getting all the detail tonight, but know that we are working on sustainability, which would include rainwater harvesting, which certainly would include some gray water element for all the new water features that we're putting in here, like the restrooms and the kitchen. We haven't really got into details as far as solar or wind, but we're thinking that right now we're concentrating on the water. Again, cost is going to keep going up. Even though we know we can recuperate, we're still going to need to make this application competitive and inviting. We don't hit, we're not strong on both. We have a lot of parks in this area, which is to our downfall when we look to go apply for grant monies. But the income in this particular area that's targeted through the state locator program meets the requirements. So we're there on income. We're not quite there on the parks. So it's going to be a very competitive application for us. Any other questions?
I have a question about seating capacity. Do you have any idea what it is for option six is amphitheater and then the other seating capacity for the classroom?
I have the latter, not the beginning. The seating for both the amphicourt as well and the amphitheater, I don't have the numbers. I could probably get them. They probably have some calculations that formulated these particular seating arrangements. The classroom is 100 people. So we're looking to have a capacity of 100 for the classroom. Now we know that 100 is a capacity. So I've learned from other buildings that are 100 capacity, probably looking at comfortably around 80. When you include tables and chairs and a buffet or a sign-in table or a head table, you know, really the practical element is it's not going to be quite 100. But it's a good size, I think, for this particular site.
And it would be under the same rules and regulations with the rest of Rec and Park Community Center type rental spaces?
Yeah, this one we'd have to look at if we're going to be outside rentals or not, or just internal use. We would have probably some master fee schedule tied to this that we would be able to charge.
Yeah.
But for our granting, and what we're really trying to do is that this classroom and the teen center is open, we have another venue for them to do workshops or some kind of a quiet classroom homework area that you can go and do homework here during certain hours, and then it's freed up for meetings. But I think that we want to have the site accessible to teens as much as we can, as open as long as we can, and at very, very minimal cost, like free. So, and it's difficult. We maintain it right now. It doesn't cost to go to the teen center. The Teen Advisory Committee is very active. I'd be remiss if I didn't say that they are trying extremely hard. This last year they have volunteered for countless events, as well as adopting Lilakaiser Park as for maintenance. So, and get engaged and really give their insight on the two options. And then council will make a decision and they'll hopefully adopt one of these options for a final master plan. Then we can, you know, fine-tune all the details of our application and hopefully submit and be funded by Prop 84. Then we would know that timeline probably in December or January of 2012. So it's about a 6-month, 7-month period in which they're reviewed and money's appropriated. So we would know then. And then we would revert back to some detailed plans and drawings, and everything from that point will be covered through the grant, so all the final details, the bidding package, the construction, all that will be part of the package that we present.
Okay, so just to reiterate, the decision, if the grant is awarded, would be December of 2012? Is that correct?
By the state. The state reviews the applications, and typically the first round, they gave notice to applicants that January. So it's about 5 to 6 months before for the state to process them. And then if we were accepted, then we would, then believe there's some formal accepting of that by city council. So they still have to come back and say, thanks for the money, and then we accept it. Remember, it's a non-matching fund. So any kind of monies we get are just, there's reporting strings, but there's not matching funds.
Okay.
Any other questions regarding options 5 or 6?
Has the city council taken a look at 5 and 6, and have they said, or I don't know, can they talk about it and say, I prefer, you know, number 6 rather than 5?
Well, the packets went out today.
Oh.
So they've seen them. They just got them.
Okay.
But we had some council participation in some of our workshops. Councilman Smuckler was at our very first workshop. Maybe it was, I think it was the first one or the second one. So the, there's been opportunity for council to be at any one of our workshops. We've invited everybody. Some of them have been geared towards preteens, one more teens, general public. Ours in April the 28th was anybody who's interested. And then this will be a last catch-all, and we're going to be doing our best to get the word out and bring people out. And if you're interested, come on out, talk to city council, sway them one way or another. But we feel strongly about the project. We feel it's a good development, not only for the teens, but also for our community. We've got opportunities to bring in other parts of the Estero Bay and Los Osos and Cayucas, and we have an opportunity to enhance amenities for just the general public here with the classroom and the amphitheater. And I think that's a stronger venue that we can present to intergenerational use of the site. If there are no other questions, then I'd be looking for a motion to accept this particular report for file.
Okay. I'd like to move that we accept this and present this to City Council.
A second? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. And moving on to new business, D1. Recreation and Parks Department Program Evaluation. Mr. Woods, would you like to
talk
about that?
Thank you again, Chair Crowley and Commission. I've been writing down 6-0. It's kind of interesting. It's nice to see everybody here at the meeting. Last meeting was real strong, too, so I really appreciate you your participation, and hopefully we'll get some future agenda items on this next go-around. D1 is Program Evaluation for 2011 Estero Bay Youth Basketball Program. The program is held December the 1st through March the 5th. We had 215 boys and girls participate. Our direct cost for the program was $20,476, and that includes the gym rental. And you can see we just talked about some gyms and how much it costs us, and you're looking at the old gym and new gym, about $2,400, and Los Osos was close to $1,000, and Cayucas was a couple $100. So you're looking at, you know, there's some money to be recouped there, but this is just one season for us. Jerseys, balls, and referees are included in your direct costs, as well as some miscellaneous supplies and staffing costs. Tournaments are also rolled into the direct costs. The support cost, which is the cost allocation that we present, which is $12 for a walk-in and $5 for an online. We had 14 register online, 201 for the walk-in. Support costs are $2,482. Total expenses at $22,958. Revenues would include two donations, one from the Kiwanis Club, and other teams are, you know, blue and black and so forth. We had the reversible jerseys, which was the white and the blue, and it just didn't go over well at all. We tried to save some money for the participants and using the same jersey for soccer as you could for basketball, and it just wasn't very well received. So taking that consideration, we're changing back to our standard uniforms, and the kids and the parents love it. Our coaches' training was a little poorly attended. We're going to look to ways to motivate coaches to get them in there pre-season to get some training going on. And it's tough. They're volunteers. They're parents that, you know, have probably worked for a living. And then time is always a factor and when you volunteer. So until we can get a volunteer that's willing to come through and getting a little training before the season, it always makes for a better program. And we're going to be doing our best to bring them in. We're going to continue taking the mid-season break during the second President's Day weekend. We have partnered up with Cal Poly Nutrition for the assessment day. It's been incredible support for the Cal Poly group to come in. It's when you do different assessments throughout the day, instead of just doing them one after another, after maybe a shooting drill, you go to rethink your drink, and the kids learn about what they should be drinking before, during, and after the game. And I tell you right, it's not a soda. So we're trying to get, and snacks as well, you know, type of food they're putting in their bodies. So there's nutrition element that's part of the assessment day, and we've done it over in softball, we do it in basketball. It really works out great, very well received by the participants and the parents. Cal Poly basketball, Cuesta basketball, and the high school, we have opportunities. We partner with all three of those entities. And we've got the kids out there during halftime show. Have you ever been to one of these venues and you, at halftime, the kids come out and play and they're running around? Those are the kids from Morro Bay. And so we kind of rotate. And other cities do it as well. But we bring out we've got a banner that goes with the kids. The coaches go out. And it is just a tremendous feeling for these kids to go out at halftime at a Cal Poly basketball game when the stands are full. It's just a great feeling for them, an opportunity that we want to continue to provide, and we will. And we are also offering a discount for those who register online. And you see that our support cost for online registration was only $5. The support cost for in-house walk-ins was $12. So the more people that can register online and get a discount, the more money, the less resources we have to put out, and the higher revenues that we'll be generating. This is, again, 92% cost recovery, good program. That concludes my report. Be happy to answer any questions at this time.
Any questions? Okay.
And I would ask the commission motion to accept this report for file.
Who would like to make a motion to accept the file?
I'd like to make a motion to accept D1 for file.
Do we have a second?
I second that.
All right. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. And if there's nothing else further, does anybody have anything they'd like to declare for a future agenda item?
I do.
Okay.
As we discussed very briefly earlier, I would like to get an update on the status of the tennis courts at Del Mar Park. I understand that the monies were appropriated over a year ago. They were supposed to go out for bid. There's an awful lot of hungry contractors out there, so I would like to know the status and when will they start production. With only two courts in Morro Bay, it's really difficult.
Would you like an answer now, or would you like me to bring back an answer in my status report?
Status report would be fine.
I'll make that available.
Please.
Okay, does anybody have anything else they'd like to add?
Yeah, I'd like to move that perhaps the next meeting we take another tour of the parks. We haven't done that in a while. That's always a fun and informative thing, so we can see exactly what's going on the ground.
You just want another ride in the trolley car.
I like to ride the trolley, as long as I don't have to sing.
May I? Okay.
Yes, Mr. Yes, Woods, would you like to comment on that?
I would say that annually the Recreation Parks Commission has taken a parks tour in July. Our new schedule lines us up for a meeting in July. We take June off and we come back in July. And if I'm hearing that there's some consensus that we want to do a parks tour, I will arrange that for our next meeting. That'll be the third Thursday.